Let's give it up for the band leading us in worship. A relatively new song called Rattle. We want to welcome our online audience as well. We miss you so much. Wish you could be here with us. We're starting a new series today called The Rocks Cry Out. And if you are new to our church, there's a bunch of rocks down here that are our testimonies of what God has done in our families. And as we're moving forward toward building over here on El Dorado, there's so many stories that we want to encapsulate. And we were in a series with Joshua. And when they crossed over the Jordan River, they stacked the stones and they said, when your families see this stack of stones, that you can tell them this is when God delivered us. This is when God got us to the other side. And so that there are stones of remembrance. And then in the New Testament, Jesus was speaking to a crowd, somewhat of cynics. And he said, even if you do not worship, the rocks will cry out, because the creation has a desire to emulate, to worship, to give praise to the Creator. And we, the humans that God spoke into existence with Adam and Eve, we are the prize of that creation. And so how much more should we have the desire to commune with our God, to worship our God? That even the Bible speaks about our hearts of stone before we know God turning into hearts of flesh, so that they are soft and pliable, and so that they are able to commune with our God. We even got music from heaven today. I hear the sound. Was it raining on you guys when you came in? Anybody? Okay, already? Well, you guys, well, I'm just going to give you some props. Thanks for coming in the rain, all right? Let's give it up for second service people. I don't think y'all are ready for this sermon. Let's try it again. Let's give it up for the second service people. All right. Ho, ho, yes. Yes, so I'm going to preach my face off, and you have to catch what I'm throwing, all right? So the song that we just sang a moment ago has been my inspiration that I diverged from the topic of the week, one of the rocks, we're going to preach it every week, to the song Rattle, and it actually has several Bible stories woven into it. There's the story of Elisha that's in there, so there's two prophets, Old Testament sound kind of the same, Elijah and Elisha. Elisha died. And one of the visiting armies had a soldier that passed away, and they threw him into Elijah's grave. And when the dead soldier hit Elisha's dead bones, he came back to life. And so it was a miracle after his death, only one to be able to do that of the prophets. And then it's talking about the stone that was rolled away, speaking of the resurrection of Jesus. And then sandwiched in between there is the rattling of dry bones, which is a prophecy in Ezekiel 37. And it's speaking of Israel being cut off and being brought back as a nation. And so God is speaking of a country that's eventually going to perish out of existence for close to 1900 years and then be brought back. And you might be saying, okay, Tim, what does it have to do with me? Well, what it has to do with you is that you might be faced with some impossible situations. And I hope that today I can give you a message that you can hold on to and that you could even speak into whenever you feel like death is surrounding you. Can God speak life into your dead situation? Can he cause things to come out of the grave that would be impossible for you to accomplish on your own? And as we go through Ezekiel chapter 37, it's such a message of hope. And I hope that I can give that to you today. I hope that's something that you can put away. And if you're in trouble or if you're having a dark time, that this is something that you can remember what God said to Ezekiel. So it's a crazy, wild story about dead bones coming back together, and that is making this rattling sound. So I hope I've sufficiently set the table. Let's get into the passage. It says in Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley that was full of bones, full of human bones, a graveyard, if you will. He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry, not slightly dead, not almost dead, but all the way dead, bones that were very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? Can these bones live? Imagine someone asking you that question as you're standing in a valley of dry bones. Can these bones live? And Ezekiel replied, "Sovereign Lord, you alone know." So the first question for our consideration that God is asking is it possible? Is it possible? Imagine God putting you into the paradox of asking you if something is possible. Just think about that for a moment. Let it run through your mind that if God asked you, the God who spoke all things into existence, the God who made all things, the God who fashioned life, who fashioned everything that you see in the sky, the sun, the moon, the stars, the tide, all of it, he fashioned it, did it all in 6 days, took the seventh day off. And so there he is, he's God who knows all things, right? And he asked you a question. How would you feel intimidated? Would anybody feel intimidated if God's like, well, let me ask you what you think about this one. You know, before we go any further, see all the dry bones here. You know, do you think these could live again? Now, I would be a little bit caught off guard because as I was walking through the dry bones, I would, number one, be a little freaked out. Anybody else, like, if you were, like, surrounded by a bunch of dead people's bones, would anybody else, like, have a little moment of, like, okay, God, like, I hope this isn't a personal message for me, all right? You know, it's like, what are you trying to say here? And so he's going back and forth there, and he's asking this question, and I imagine it's very intimidating, but I think that anyone in here that's a parent, and if you are a teacher, a coach, a boss, how do you think people learn better? Do you think that they learn better from you telling them or from asking questions and engaging reason? Would you say that when you ask a question, it's not always because you don't know an answer, it's because you're trying to get people to think, right? You're trying to get them to reason. You're trying to get them to come to a conclusion about something. And here God is speaking into Ezekiel, and he's trying to get him to come to a conclusion. That when God is saying, is it possible? It's not because he doesn't know. It's not because he lacks the information. It's not he lacks some level of intelligence or insight into the situation that he's putting Ezekiel into. No, no, no. He's trying to get Elisha or Ezekiel to expand his thought of what's possible. And so he asks him this question, is it possible? Can these dry bones live? And so as I was thinking about Ezekiel's perspective, this situation seems very certain, right? I mean, if you were walking through a valley of dry bones without any other information, you would say, this situation is dead. All right, it wasn't even that the bones were just bones. It's like there were dry bones. I mean, no life left at all. And there was no frame of reference for Ezekiel. It's not like every other day a giant graveyard just got up out of the grave, right? There's no perspective here that would allow him to think something other than dead was going to be the result. So what do we do when the situation is giving us an indication or an inclination, and that inclination is consistent with every experience that we've had? In other words, we have learned that when things go this way, this is the outcome. This is the finality of it. And then all of a sudden, those inclinations or indications, what if they're false? What if all the things, the signs around us are giving us false indications, and then all of a sudden God speaks his revelation, his word, into our situation? How do we manage when God's revelation is in conflict with our situation? In other words, we've already resigned our mind to saying it's dead, it's over, it's done. And then God comes along and says, but could it live again? Wouldn't that be great? I mean, a marriage that was like over and God came and said, but could it live again? A prodigal that has wandered far from God and God comes to you and says, but could he live again? I mean, whatever. A person who was once passionately following after Christ, but now has wandered, and God says, but could they live again? And here is Ezekiel in the midst of this impossible moment where there's no other answer. Like God is asking you a question where it seems like there's only one answer. No, God. The answer is no. They can't live because they're dead. They're dry bones. They can't live. But Ezekiel reaches down into the depths of this wisdom and grabs out an answer that I want to give to you that I hope you'll have for the rest of your life. He said, "Sovereign Lord, only you can know." Put it back on the screen. "Sovereign Lord, only you know." In other words, he's not saying, no, they can't live. He's not saying, yes, they can live. He's caught in a quandary that is above his pay grade. He's up on a whole nother, God is saying, "Ezekiel, can you dream with me on another dimension? That there's a dimension out there of as beyond the natural into the supernatural of what's possible with me." And Ezekiel says, "Only you." He defers to God when it comes to an impossible situation. I'm going to tell you, you might find yourself in some impossible situations. And if you look at it through your natural vision, you're going to say, "It's dead. It's impossible. There's no way out. There's no hope." You'll see an end. And yet God asks you a question, could it live again? I'm going to tell you, you should defer to what God says about it every single time. And the church said, amen. Yes, defer. Defer, because in his dimension, all things are possible. Nothing is too difficult for him. Nothing is too hard for him. He's able to open doors that you can't open. He's able to speak into things and change things that you could never change on your own. So as we start this morning's message, maybe God is asking some of you to consider, is it possible? Is it possible if you add me to the equation, if you add my word to the equation? Some of you aren't dreaming big enough because you've been walking through the dry bones. And it says it wasn't just one lap, right? It says they were walking back and forth. He wanted him to see how dead it appeared. He said, but we could do something about this. And maybe some of you have surmised through your situation that there is no way out. But with God, all things are possible. Shall we read on? Are you guys ready? All right, let's go on. Verse 4 says, "Then he said to me," this is God speaking to Ezekiel, "prophesy to these bones." I want you to speak into an impossible situation. I want you to speak into the most dry, dusty, dead situation that you can imagine. And I might be describing an area of someone's life as they're sitting in here this morning. You are feeling like you got dry bones, feeling like there's no life in there. He says, "Prophesy to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you, and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord." The exercise of them coming to life was to recognize who God is. If you are alive, your existence is to recognize who God is, and that is called worship. That's what you were created to do, and you will never feel more alive than when you worship. And we're going to give you another chance in about 10 minutes, okay? So if you didn't make it on the first train, all right, the train's coming back. And I promise you, if you would learn to worship with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, you will know what life is. I want to know what life is. And so, verse 7, "So I prophesied as I was commanded, and I was prophesying. There was a noise, a rattling sound." Oh my gosh, I'm going to keep this in the PG realm here. Like, kids, these bones started rattling, and it says that they started coming back together. Imagine that clicking noise all over this valley. Click, 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 click. And these bones, like these little skeletons, are coming back to life, all right? Like a little Lego guy. Okay? And he's coming back to life. And then all of a sudden, tendons and flesh, organs, brain, all the blood, everything started flowing into this person. If you've ever seen Indiana Jones, Raiders of the Lost Ark, at the end, when the people get melted, okay? This is reverse Indiana Jones, okay? It's like, take it, watch it backwards, and you will know what this is like. And so, not for small children, parents. And so anyway, so as the skin and everything comes back upon them, it says that in verse 9, he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Well, let me go back to 8. I looked and the tendons and the flesh appeared on them. He says, but there was no life. Very important. But there was no life in them. No breath was in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Speak my word. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come breath from the four winds and breathe into these slain that they may live. Breathe into the dead. Breathe into the impossible. Breathe into the dusty that they may live. It says in verse 10, so I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them. They came to life and they stood up to their feet as a vast army. Dead bones. Question, is it possible? Ezekiel says, I don't know. Only you know, God. He says, now speak my word into it. The bones come together. The flesh comes on top. Everything was there for life to occur, but one thing was missing. Do you remember when he spoke Adam into existence? That everything existed in Adam and for life to be there, but the last thing that was added to make life occur, he said he breathed. He breathed into Adam life. So without the breath of God, all we have is the appearance of life. That's all we have. These people, if you saw them, they would look alive, but they weren't alive. They had all the things inside them to be alive, but they weren't alive. And I started thinking, is that some forms of fashion? Is that churches? Is that marriages? Is that students? Is it possible that we have the appearance of life? I mean, we are sitting here. We are. Our blood is pumping through our lungs. We are doing things, but the breath of God is not in our lives. We have the appearance of life, but I'm going to tell you, when you're not connected to God, that's not life. That's not life. And I started thinking, it's kind of like when you're a parent and you're raising children. Have you ever seen when they get to like junior high, high school? I don't know. Have you seen that demeanor shift? Has anybody ever seen that demeanor shift? Like where you like used to have like the most happy-go-lucky kid and now they're like moody. Has anybody seen this? It's like they're angry. It's like, you know, they're sad or they're mad. Sometimes it's like this, not only for kids that we're raising, but sometimes there's eras or seasons in marriage. Sometimes there's seasons as worshipers where they were once like the life was in them and they walk in, it's almost like it's the eyes. You could always look at the eyes. Have you ever noticed that? You ever see someone that's full of life and vibrant? There's a look in their eyes, right? You ever seen someone who life has just kicked them in the face? Maybe it's through brokenness, maybe it's through abuse, whatever, maybe it's sin we've allowed into our lives, but what you'll see is those eyes begin to fade. The excitement and the passion, it fades. And where there was once life, now it's death. I still have the appearance of life, but when is the last time that God breathed on your life? God breathed his word into your relationships. God breathed his word into your purpose, into your profession, into your passion. Gosh, it would break my heart as a pastor to have people sitting in the audience. The irony would be so thick that we would be in God's house having the appearance of life, but not the breath of God on us. That's no way to live. The Apostle Paul encouraged young Timothy He said, I want you to fan into flame that ember that is in you. By definition, I deduce that the ember can be removed from the fire and it can begin to fade. Have you ever seen that? Have you ever had a campfire and you take one of the coals, one of the logs, and you're trying to put it out, and so you have to separate it out because they draw heat from each other. And so if you take an ember and you move it, remove it from the fire, and then you let it sit out there, what will happen is it will slowly begin to fade. It will slowly begin to lose heat. And then eventually you can just pick it up with your hand and there's no light left in it. I just wonder, am I describing anybody's faith that's in here today? That maybe it was once glowing, so passionate, so bright, but now it's cold because of the things we've allowed in. God says to Ezekiel, can these bones live again? Can they? You alone know, God. He said, I want you to speak life into the impossible. We have to learn to speak God's word into the impossible. Not your opinion. Not your opinion. Please. When it comes to like the direction of your family and the fate of your family, do not speak your opinion. You know how we get worked up and we start giving our opinion on things? Anybody ever do this? I'll tell you what I think. At the end of the day, respectfully, with all due respect, okay? Your opinion is not near as important as what God says about your situation. So when you are speaking your opinion, you need to make sure that your opinion is alignment with God's word, because God is never trying to line up his word with your opinion. You see, there's one that's the master and one that has to be the slave. And so you have to say that my will is subservient to God's word. And I just want to ask you, what word are you speaking into your impossible right now? If you're starting to feel it fade, what word are you speaking into it? If you start to feel insecure, if you start to feel fragility, if you're feeling it fade inside of you, what word are you speaking into it? Man, if I knew that I could speak God's word and something dead could come back to life, sign me up. Sign me up for that. Gosh, in him we live and move and have our being. God's word is life. And I feel like so many believers even, we default to where we were raised or what we think or what we read or what we watched or what we scrolled. Where is the word that you're speaking into the impossible? Lastly, in Ezekiel 37, he said to me, son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. They are feeling forsaken. You guys seeing that? Let's just leave this verse up here. Imagine if someone walked in this morning and this is you. You feel so like you've walked through the desert and there's no water in sight. You ever been dehydrated? You ever had that coach that's like, no, water is for the weak, Coach Boone, right? Water is for the weak. And like you're sitting there like, I need some water, sir. Kind sir, just a little drink of water. And you start to feel like you're going to die if you don't just get a little bit of relief, a little bit of water. It says that they are feeling dry inside. And then it says that our hope is gone. Oh, gosh. There is nothing more sad than a person who has got to the end of hope. What's left? What's left when you have no hope? Why would you want to get up if you have no hope? Why would you try counseling if you have no hope? Why would you work passionately in your profession if ultimately you had no hope? Once we get to no hope, there's no path that's going to make sense going forward. He says, we feel cut off. We feel that the river of God has been cut off. And God said, it doesn't have to stay that way. You don't have to stay in this. It's your choice. He says, these bones represent my people. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says. My people, I'm going to open your graves. I'm going to bring you up from them, and I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves and bring you up from them. Look at what he says. I'm going to open the graves. I'm going to bring you up, and I'm going to bring you back. This is my message for you this morning that feel like your life is in the graveyard. You feel like something has happened, and now it's taken things from you, and all the indicators around you, if God were to parade you through the past, maybe 4 months, has anybody ever felt like hope was a little bit? Anybody, when you were in isolation, anybody ever feel that? Like I feel like I'm starting to get depressed. Anybody? By show of hands. Let's just testify here in church. Like, did you start to feel like you were cut off? Yeah. You start to have that, and it's not, these feelings don't lead to encouragement, they lead to discouragement. And now you're in the midst of that, and God says, guess what? Guess what? Even if we were in the graveyard, I can open what seems impossible. I can open it, and then I can bring you up out of the pit that you're in, and I can bring you back. Wouldn't that be great for someone to hear that was out of hope, that God said, I can open your graveyard. I can bring you back up, and then I can bring you back. Oh my gosh, he can bring life into your dead situation. He can do it. He can do it. You walked in here and you thought, oh, there's no way possible. There's no way possible. Hey, with God, all things are possible. Maybe today there would be a rattling. Maybe today there would be the sound of church members, churchgoers that have been sitting on the sidelines, and you haven't done anything for God in a long time. And maybe today he would start speaking life into you. You say, Tim, it's too late for me. I've already waited. No. The graveyard can open today, and he could bring you up, and he could bring you back. Let's pray. Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, dare I say, God, I will rebuke the attitude that's sitting in this room right now that is trying to get out of this service without surrendering to your word and your will. God, they're trying to choose death. They're desperately trying to cling to death. God, that your spirit would breathe on them this morning, that they would be unable to